Happy New Year from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. As we begin a new year, we are grateful to be in your homes each week. My dad, Pastor Salem, proclaimed the good news of the gospel through these broadcasts, and we will continue to do so with his recorded services, Lord willing. A special part of our day is hearing from you. We read every note, comment, and letter. A recent note from Iowa reads, "Just a short note with my offering. I have just read the new song again. It helps refresh my day. Pastor Salem's sermons are clear and understandable. I am glad to be a part of CWH. Thank you for coming into my home." To request our monthly newsletter called A New Song, you may go to our website at cwh.org. Call or write to us. We hope today's service, reminding us that Jesus can lead you every step along the way, will be of encouragement to you. Now let's listen to Dad's message. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And this is the new year, and we're just so happy to have you with us. We're going to be talking about a guide for the new year. And believe me, the way world events are going, we need a guide. And Jesus is the most wonderful guide in the world. So just call your friends, tell them to listen in, and we'll look at the new year with a wonderful guide. We're looking at the words of the psalmist in Psalm 57. "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto the Lord God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth." And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful promise as we start the new year, that you will be with us. And when we call upon you, you do hear us and you do help us. And just help us, O Lord, that we may just be open to the leading of your Spirit and the direction of your word at all times. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan's going to open our service with a song, "Surely Goodness and Mercy." And God bless you, Jan. Well, thank you, Jan. And that's right out of the Bible, that when we accept the Lord Jesus, He has goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. And that's the way, then when whatever we run into, whatever the problems might be, and we all are going to find times in this world where we're going to have some hard going, we can know that God's goodness is there and His mercy is there, and He'll take us through to the very end and take us into heaven. But you have to have Jesus. You'll never have the mercy of God and the truth of God and the way you should have it until you accept Jesus into your life. And you simply do that by just telling Jesus you're a sinner and just tell Him you're sorry for your sins and ask Him to take your sins away and then promise to serve Him, because Jesus taught repentance. Repentance means a change of mind. And so it means that you're going to turn your back on your old ways, live for the Lord. So just tell Him that you'll make Him the Lord of your life, that follow Him the best you can. And then thank Him, then tell somebody. And that's the way you start. And I did that 86 years ago. It was the smartest thing I ever did when I opened my heart to Jesus. Well, we want to share some of our letters. God has given us a lot. You've given us a lot of nice letters. We appreciate that so much. And so let's just give you some of the letters. The first one is from Sheffield, Iowa. And this person writes, I love your messages and your news for program topics. I use them to teach Bible lessons here at the Care Center. I'm 99 years old, wishing you the best our Lord can give in Christian love. And so I kind of am jealous of this person. He's 99, I'm only 96. And so that's kind of disgusting. But we'll just, you know, we just take what God gives us. And I think He has our time figured out, all of us, time to be born and time to go. And so whatever His time for me is, be just fine. But here this person has Bible lessons, and they're using our Bible study. And so we have a little Bible study called The New Song. And then we have a new study each week. And so this month of January, we are going to have the Light of the World. The light of the world, and that's a good way to start the new year with the light of the world is Jesus. And so you can just write for the new song, and I'll give you the scripture. I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. So get your pencil and paper ready, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, here's Ashley, North Dakota, and I remember this taking place. I remember these people. I have listened to you for over 40 years. As I first saw you on June 9, 1975, after our wedding the day before. We got married in Ashley Baptist Church and drove to Aberdeen that night. Your church service was our first one as man and wife. Now, of course, I attend church alone since Ken died. I'm just so happy that you're still preaching. Nothing has changed in your sermons in the terms of sincerity, usefulness, and the sermon and enlightenment that each sermon offers. Thanks again. And so here I remember this lady, I remember her husband, and they're just starting their Christian life, and we're preaching the same gospel. There's only one gospel, and that's we preach the Bible in season and out of season. And so for 73 years, been the same gospel, and I never get tired of it. It's new all the time because it's the living word of the living God. And if I want to read about what happened yesterday, I look at the newspaper. If I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, I look at the Bible. It's always fresh because it's the word of God. Let's see. Here's Vivian, Louisiana. Jesus instructed me to send this letter to you. I am happy to do so. I just recently accepted Him, and I am so very happy I did. Amen. And so we sent literature to this dear lady, and during the service, I think she's the one that said, during the service when I prayed, helped them with their prayer, she made that prayer. She was born again, had her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She was baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. All happened the minute she opened her heart to Jesus. And so that's what it's all about. We just urge people all the time, come to Jesus. Don't put it off. Come to Jesus. Here's Java, South Dakota. That's just a little bit west of us. And here's a donation for the St. Paul Lutheran Church women. And they are really nice Christian ladies because I've been in their church and I spoke at their meeting one time and just had a wonderful time. So I just wanted to read their letter and just tell them I just appreciate them so much. Here's Evansville, Wyoming. Thank you for praying for the Christians in faraway places. I wonder if we should pray for the oppressors as well. They need Christ to turn from their ways. And you know, when I got that letter, I got to thinking, you know, we pray for the persecuted Christians every week, every service. But I haven't been praying for the oppressors very much. And so I thought about the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5, verse 44. So from now on, we're going to pray also for the oppressors that they come to know Jesus. And so we'll come to that in just a little bit. Here's Bellevue, Florida. I'm homebound, so I look forward to your service. Thank you for preaching. I like it when you ask for the offering. I underlined that. I like it when you ask for the offering. Just like being in church, please send the new song. And so, isn't that nice? She's happy when I ask for the offering. And you know, God says God loves a cheerful giver. Now, he'll take money from a grouch, but he'd rather have a cheerful giver. And if you're grouchy and you hate to give anything, it just bothers you to give anything, you give and you give and you give more and more, and all of a sudden, you'll love it. And you do like Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We had that in Sunday school when I was a little boy. But more blessed to give away than to get. And I did not believe that at all. But now I'm 96 years old. I found out there's more joy, far more joy in giving than in getting. So after all, Jesus was right again and again. And he'll always be right. Here is, I'm going to murder this, but this is from Alaska. And it's Anatuckyvuk Pass. So, God bless you. At least I got Alaska right. But they write a nice letter. It says, Dear Pastor Salem and the entire worship crew, thank you for providing access online to the message from the Bible, the inspired word of God. It spans the globe, dropping a signal to Anatuck Pass in Alaska. I listen almost every Sunday before going to church, and the message always is a blessing. I try to take something I learned here to church there to share with others. May God continue to richly bless you as you serve our Father and Jesus Christ. And so isn't that nice from Alaska? Well, if we do get several letters from Alaska, and we got a letter from a prison in Alaska, and we prayed for that person, sent literature. One more letter, Sylvania, Georgia. Pray for me. Please pray for me. I am a sinner. For the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ, pray for me so I can find Jesus in my heart. Thank you for the Christian Worship Hour. So we sent literature to this lady, and you just tells us that you just call in the name of the Lord and you can be saved. And it's so easy because I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, and I'll tell you what I prayed. I prayed something like, I'm sorry for my sins, and please come into my heart. And then I just told him I'd serve him the best I could. The evangelist, an evangelist from the Christian Missionary Alliance Church came, was preaching to us, and I remember praying in that country school 86 years ago. And here's a dear person just coming to Jesus down in Georgia. And so we rejoice in that. So people are coming to the Lord, and God is blessing this as we help others. And so if you'd like to help us, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. Box 2002, 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And I'm going to give it again in just a minute, and I'll give it a little slower because you can get it off of the screen, but our people on shortwave can't get it. And you know what? We're on 5 different antennas for shortwave radio, and we cover 90% of the world's population. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful? And so you write to us. Now, if you'd like to send a gift, and we hope that you will, because we're dependent upon you. We have no source of income except God's people. And so you just say, now, dear Lord, is this something that I should support? Is this something you want me to support? Because there are other good ministers on the television and radio that are true to the Lord. We're not the only one. But you can't support all of them, and somebody has to support us if God wants us to continue. So you just say, now, dear Lord, do you want me to give help to these people? And if you do, why then you do what God lays on your heart. And just remember, you can't take your money with you. Last week, you remember I told you I was going to tell you about a man who had a plan how he could take his money with him when he died. And I'm going to tell you how he had it planned. He had an upstairs, and he had a table upstairs, and it was right above the bed where he slept. And then on that table, he put all of his money, nice little packets, and he showed his wife. And so that when he died, he'd go right up through there by that money. He'd grab that money as he was going up to heaven, see? And so he had it all set, and wouldn't you know it, he died. And she ran upstairs, and she looked, and she says, yep, just what I thought. He went the other way. So you can't take it with you. So don't be a tightwad. And give it out to God's word, and give it to your church, and give it to people that can use it. You can't take it with you. And if you have a way, let me know, and I'll tell your story. It'll be just as dumb as this one. And then I want to tell you about our matter of giving. You can give on the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and this is a miracle. You can be anywhere in the world, and you can get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then there's a place that says donate, and you punch that button. Well, I had an old pastor, he always says, mash that button. Well, mash it or push it or whatever you want. And then you put in your amount of money in your currency, and by a miracle, within a blink of an eye, it'll be in the United States, and we'll have it in American currency. And so you can send wherever you are, you can help us, but you need to help us and pray for us. And you say, oh, yeah, I know, but I'll send money. He's 96 years old. He'll have a party. He'll be running around. I can't trust him for some reason. I just don't know if I can trust him. Well, you don't need to trust me. We are a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And they they audit our books, and they are a headache. We have a secretary that watches that, and she about goes crazy when they come and go through all those books. They're just terrible. But they don't leave a stone unturned. And they see that we receipt everything, and they see that we pay out the money to what we say we're going to do. We have our budget, and it's written out what we're going to do with it. And so they check us out so you can be sure that all is accounted for. So I hope you'll write, and I hope you'll pray for us and support us. So now I'm going to give it one more time. This is for the shortwave people. Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play, and you give as the Lord lays on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone who's helping in this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan, and God bless you. Well, we're going to be reading the 23rd Psalm today because it's about God guiding us. And then in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Vietnam. And we have a man in Minnesota. He's a veteran from in the war of Vietnam. And he writes, and once in a while he calls me. He's a dear friend and a dear brother in the Lord. And I appreciate all the veterans, all those who've served in our country's service. But the 23rd Psalm is simply, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And when David wrote this, he didn't know anything about Jesus. He just says, "The Lord is my shepherd." But Jesus tells us that, "I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father in heaven." So Jesus is my shepherd. And so as we think about the new year, Lord, we're going to face a lot of things. But we can face everyone with you helping us and you leading us. And so help us to be open to your Spirit and your Word, to read your Word all the time, the Holy Bible, to read that. And then just to have your Spirit, depending on the Holy Spirit as he shows us the way. And help us in all of our travels to honor you and to serve you, and to bring glory to your name. And then, Lord, we pray for those who are persecuted in Vietnam. And we just pray, Lord, we're just so thankful that there are those that are so strong in their faith and so determined and love you so much, they give their life. Thank you for their life, Lord. And I know it makes it challenges me. And I wonder if I could do it. I hope I could do it. But I just know that there many have. And I just pray for them, and I pray for the ones that are left behind. I don't pray for those who give up their life because they're in glory. But I pray for those left behind. And Lord, I do pray for those who oppress. I pray for those who are outlaws or who are doing wicked deeds. I pray that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because I know you paid for their sins as well as anybody else. And they can turn to you, and sometimes they do, and I pray many will come to you as their Savior. So now just bless us, Lord, as we continue in this service of worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing, let's see, between 12 and 33, and God bless you, Barb. Between
nothing written about his formative years. For a while it's like he just disappeared. And the Bible says that he grew wise and found favor in God's eyes. When he got older and the time had come, he started proving to the world who he was. Each step he took led straight to Calvary.
Thank you, Barb. And there are some years that we don't know anything in the life of Jesus, but we sure know those 3 years of ministry when he, excuse me, when he changed the world, this wonderful Savior. And now we know him not just as a man, but as God, because he was God-man. He was unique. There never was another one like him, nor ever will be. But he was God-man, and he was sinless. And he paid for our sins, was raised for the dead. What a wonderful story. But we're starting a new year, and so I just thought we'd just think about that for a minute. And I've got good news for you, and that is that there's somebody that will lead us all through the year. I don't have any idea what the new year holds, but I know who holds the new year. And this wonderful Lord, this Lord Jesus Christ, he'll lead us as a wonderful guide. He's been my guide now for 86 years. And I have to be honest and say I haven't always followed him as I should. But I've always come back, and he's taken me back. He's never turned me away. And maybe there's some of you, and you're a Christian. You started out of the Christian life, but you drifted. So easy to drift. And you can come back, and you just come back and says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. So just, you might want to come to the service, during this service, come back to Jesus. But come to him because he'll give you guidance and he'll give you directions. For instance, I just read the 23rd Psalm. And in this wonderful Psalm, it talks about how that he leads me in green pastures and he leads me beside the still waters. And he restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness, and he leads me all the days of my life, and he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, and he leads me through the pearly gates to the city above. He will never stop. He'll always take us along, always carry us along. His eye is always, he'd be always upon me. His arm is always around me. His ear is always open to my cry. His heart is touched by my infirmities and my feelings. And this wonderful God, he's God. And just think of it. He cares enough so that he would personally, he will help me and guide me through life. And he'll do the same thing for you. But you have to give yourself to him. And you have to listen to his word and listen to his spirit. And when you, if you get off base, get back on base and walk with Jesus. It's the only way to travel. In my case, Jesus was leading me all the days of my life. As a matter of fact, even before I was born, like with Jeremiah, I saw you in your mother's womb. He saw us that. He knows all about you. He led us so many miraculous things. If, for instance, I was born in America, could have been born in India, could have been in Bangladesh, could have been anywhere in the world, but I was born in America. He arranged many years before I was born exactly where I would be born. soul, I'm glad that God is leading me. And I'm glad that I can always lean upon Him and direct and look for Him direction. And I come into this new year, well, we'll have to be sure to listen to Him and let Him guide. So I put down some ways that the Lord leads. He leadeth me to repentance is what I put down first of all. There was a day when I was outside the family of God. I was lost. I was in my sins. And had I died in that condition, I would not. I just hate to think of what would happen. I know I would have been eternally lost. I shudder when I think of my unsaved condition, the awful plight I could have been in. And yet this Lord Jesus, He began to lead my life. And He led me out to a country school. So I went to a meeting on an evening and a night. In those days, you could use a church and you could use a school for your church and your Sunday school and whatever you'd like. And so I went to that service. And it began to lead my life. And like Paul says in Romans 2, verse 4, or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? God was leading me to repentance. He was bringing me to the place where I would see my sins. I had fallen short of the glory of God, and I had broken His commandments. I knew I had done some things. I'd sassed my mother when she couldn't hear me, of course. And I did things I shouldn't have done. I didn't clean up my place and everything else. But He led me to repentance. And He led me to that place where I knew that I was a sinner. And I knew I was going to go to hell if I died in my sins. And I wanted to be Him. And I wanted him to come into my life. And I remember the evangelist, he talked about the Good Samaritan, and how He took this man, and he was all battered, and he had dirty clothes and bloody clothes, and He put clean clothes on him and dressed him and made him and healed him. He says, all of us were dressed in filthy rags. All our righteousness is like filthy rags, and He'll give you clean rags. He'll give you clean clothes. He'll clothe you with the righteousness of Christ, and that's what I prayed that night, 10 years old. I didn't know up from down, but I knew that I was a sinner and I wanted Jesus. God still will do that because He will now hear, He will talk to us and He'll lead us and God will show us the way and He'll invite us and He pleads with us and He does everything to bring us to repentance. And I wonder how many times you heard the gospel and you've turned it down. You've had the chance to come to Christ, but you just didn't come. You know what I did? I came to the Lord the first invitation I ever heard. Now, I tell you how I could do that. I had a godly mother. She taught me all about Jesus, and I knew about Jesus. And she always talked about how kind He was and loving. And I knew that He died for my sin, and I knew that He was raised from the grave, but I'd never ask Him into my heart. And that night when that evangelist gave that invitation, I went up there. And my two of them went with me. We all prayed to accept Jesus. I was 10 years old, and they were younger than I was. But that was the day God brought me to repentance. And it was blessed Holy Spirit spoke to my of my sin. 10 years old, what did I know about theology or anything else? But I just knew in my heart that I wanted Jesus, and I wanted Him to be my Savior, and I wanted to know Him. And so I went down, I made that prayer, and I just prayed. And you can pray any way you want, just so you tell Him in your own words that you are a sinner, you're sorry for your sins, and you're going to turn from your evil ways, and He'll show you what the ways are. Sometimes people say, well, I'm going to clean up before I follow the Lord. I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm not going to be a hypocrite Christian. I'm going to be just really good, then I'm going to accept Jesus. Don't ever do that. That's what the devil preaches, because you'll never get cleaned up enough, see? And you'll be cleaning on yourself all the way to hell. And so what you have to do is come to Jesus in all of your sins, and He'll wash them away. Like one old pastor said, God doesn't clean His fish till He catches them. So you come to Him, and He'll clean you up, and He'll help you clean up. And I'm sure not perfect. I sin all the time. But I ask Jesus to forgive me. And I'm trying to do the best I can and follow Him. He leads us to repentance, see? and that wonderful Savior. If you've not done that, you need to do that now. You need to come to the Lord. And when you do that, when the Holy Spirit will speak to you, now you won't hear. He stands at your door and knock. He says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. So he's knocking at your door. Now you're not going to see lights or hear bells or anything like that or have visions, but there'll just be something. They'll say, I just really want Jesus. I'm sick of my sins, and I'm sick of the way I've been living, and I just want Jesus to help me. And please help me, Lord, because I'm perishing. I'm going in my sins, and every day I get deeper, and every day I get in there deeper, and it's harder than ever to get out, and maybe I won't get out. And so just come to my heart. You just make that prayer. The Holy Spirit, you'll just be there. Just be that longing. You just want it. Don't quench the Spirit. Open to the Spirit. And then after you accept the Lord, then the minute you accept Jesus, he takes away all of your sins. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he'll wash them all away. And God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And my favorite verse of the Bible is John 5, verse 24. And then there's Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right there, you have everlasting life. And then Jesus goes on, and shall not come into condemnation. That is, I won't get into hell, but I'm passed right there from death unto life. John 5, 24. And you could make that prayer. Don't be fancy. Just in your own words, make that prayer. And I talked to one man, and he prayed for Jesus to come into his heart and wash away his sins. And I think it's the first time he ever prayed. And he didn't know he was supposed to say amen. When he got done, he said goodbye. Fine. That's fine with God. Just talk to him. Don't be somebody else. Be yourself. Just talk to the wonderful Savior. And then he leadeth me through life. As a young lad, I was thrilled to know that God was leading my life. There were so many decisions to make. There are so many roads to take. There were many turns. There were so many paths ahead of us. How would I ever know what to do? And so I have to have somebody to help me. My mother helped me a lot. I had my pastor, Paul Boomer, helped me a lot. I had friends that helped me a lot. But the Holy Spirit and the Word of God did the most of it. Because as you read the Bible and you read it, lean on the Holy Spirit, he'll guide you and direct you, and you'll know the way to talk and the way to travel. And so as the years roll by and you get older and older, you'll see that here he leads, and there he takes me. And as the psalmist said, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And sometimes he chastens us. Sometimes he has to spank us. I know spanking, that's way out of the picture now. They say that now the only with children, the only switch you use for children, the only switch is a light switch to turn the lights on. It's the only switch in the house. And I'm not saying you torture the children, but God says you spare this child, spare the rod, you spoil the child. That nest needs to be disciplined of some sort, of some kind. And God says he chasteneth every son, every child that he receives, because we all need improvements. And so he deals with us, but it's always in love. And we're just that clay, and he molds that clay. And when he presses on that clay, it hurts sometimes. But when you feel that hand, you'll see there's a mark in there, a spike mark, a nail mark. And he does it in love and care. So he directs us, leads us in our paths, directs us all our ways. And I think back over my life that he said, put certain people in my life that helped me in so many ways and blessed me so many ways. I think of the pastor then during the high school days. You see, we lost our farm when I was a junior in high school. And that summer, we lost our farm in the Depression years. And so I went to stay in a town in Belfouche so I could finish that school. And there was a man there and that pastor in that First Baptist Church, Paul E. Boomer. And he had a youth group, and he prayed with us, and he taught us the Bible, and he molded my life. And I can see as I look back how that God was directing and leading through that man of God. And he's the one who challenged me to and helped me. and had taught me to stand up for the Lord and don't be ashamed of him and witness for him and just go on and move on with the Lord. I owe a lot to Paul Boomer. And there are others, my seminary professors, some of those, but the one who influenced my life the most was my mother, far and away, my godly mother. He leadeth me and through life. And then he leads me through the valley of the shadow of death, 96 years old. One of these days, I'm going to have to take that journey. I've been with a lot of people that have died. I was with my wife. I was holding her hand when she died. And you know, all death is, it means the spirit and soul goes to be with God. That's all. There's nothing mysterious or anything about it. The spirit and soul just leaves the body, goes to be with God if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you go into torment. You meet with the devil. You spend your time with the devil and his angels. Now, doesn't that sound wonderful? And that wouldn't be so bad, but there's torment with it. Well, just being with the devil would be torment, but there's more to the truth than that. I don't know what all. I just know I'm not going to go there. And the reason I know I'm not going to go there is not because I'm a preacher, but because I asked Jesus into my heart. And there he is. And he'll never leave me or forsake me. And so he goes with me through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't fear death anymore because I know that the Lord will be with me. I know that I'll never be alone. And I thought as a child about my mother, my father, what if they would die? And how could I handle that? And I think I would die too. But, you know, I came along, and when it was time for them to go, I officiated at their funeral services because God gave me the strength and he gave me the help. And he leads me, and so that he never gives us more than we can bear. And when we get, and sometimes you say, well, I'm at the breaking point. Maybe you are, but you won't break if you leave. Just lean on Jesus, trust in Jesus. He'll see you through. And you may have to go through some hard times, but the Lord will help you. He'll never let you go. And that strength that he gives us just at the right time. It's never too soon. It's never too late. But God always gives us the help and the guidance, the direction. So we love the Lord. And then he leads me into that other world where heaven shines as the queen of all creation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That wonderful, wonderful Savior. And we're leaning on him and he's going to direct us. And it's just like this when we accepted Jesus. When I accepted Jesus 10 years old, God said, I'm going to have two angels follow him. And those two angels are named Goodness and Mercy. And I want you, Goodness, and I want you, Mercy. I want you to follow him all the days of his life, and don't you ever stop. And they never did. And the Goodness and Mercy follows me all the days of my life. And then at the close of life, he'll take me into that celestial city, that wonderful city of God, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So Jesus tells us, don't you fear death. Don't you fear anything. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And oh, I've said it so many times. Jesus says, believe in God. He's saying that's not enough. You got to do more than believe in God. Everybody believes in God except the fools. That's what Jesus says. So if you don't believe in God, you're a fool. You say, well, I don't like that. Well, that's just tough. That's what you are. And if you can't see God in creation and all about you, then you are pretty dense. But whatever that is, I don't know where you're at that way. But I know that he will guide us and direct us and help us. And I can lean on him. And so he says, you believe in God. That's not enough. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, another wonderful Savior. And then he says, and then he gets done, and Philip's, and Thomas says, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but I don't know how to get there. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus says, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. He says, I am the way. I am the way. Jesus is talking. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Then he got very narrow. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father, except through me. The way to God is through Jesus. I love the church. I gave most all of my life to the church and all of my life to preaching. And I love the church. It's instituted by God. It's the custodian of God's word. It's where we grow and where we serve and all. But the church can't get us to heaven, nor anything the church does. It is through faith in a person. The way to God is through a person, Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. And so this wonderful Lord Jesus, he will lead us and he'll take us to that place. And I read about a man, he wanted to go to a certain village, and it was in a distant country. And he was going to go to that village, but it was over some high mountains, and it was very dangerous and difficult journey. And he needed a very qualified guide to get there because a few people had been there, and it was a very treacherous way. And so he made an offer. He says, I need a guide. I want to go to that village. And so one man came, and he says, I'll be your guide. So the traveler said, have you ever been to the village to which I wish to go? You ever been there? And he says, oh, no, I haven't. But I've heard about it, and I've heard stories, and I've had instructions, so I think I can get there. And the traveler says, nope, you won't do. And then another guide came, and he says, have you been to the village? And he says, no, I haven't, but I tell you what, I've been to the top of the mountain, and I've looked over there, and I know where the village is, and I've looked down, and I've seen that village, so I could get you there. Traveler says, you won't do. The third guide came up, and he asked the same question, and he said, have you ever been there? And the man said, sir, the village to which I'm going is my home. And he said, you'll do. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples. He's saying, you're traveling through this world, but I'm telling you how to get there. It's my home. That's where I live. That's where I came from. I came from that home to this earth. And I came to be a sacrifice for your sins. But then I know the way back home. I went back home. I know the way. You have to have Jesus. And then when we see that, John says, I saw a glimpse of that city, that beautiful city. And John writes in Revelation 21, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And God himself shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And Ganda, he says, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, because these are faithful and true. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh it shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he will be my son. That's the destination of believers. That's where we're traveling, and that's where we're going. But you have to have Jesus. You cannot imagine the joy and the security of having Jesus lead you through life. I never have to worry. And I don't have to worry, well, what if I have an evil thought just as I die? What if I'm thinking something bad? Won't make a bit of difference. Because Jesus paid for all of my sins when he died on the cross and shed his blood. He paid for all of my sins up until the day I accepted him. But he paid for all of my sins as long as I'm going to live. Otherwise, if he paid for my sins just up to the point when I'm saved, and then I sin, then does he have to come back and die again? How many times would he do that? Jesus said, and he says, that after he had done redemption, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down. The work was done. The work was done. When we were out on the farm, we did the chores. When we went in the house, we sat down. The work was done, all done for the day. And when Jesus died on that cross, he paid for my sins in the past, the present, and the future. And he paid for yours as well. And he paid for the sins of the world. That's why when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, And he did that because at that time he was taking the sins of the world for all time. And he carried those sins to the cross. And he shed his blood and he paid for everyone. But I'm going to tell you something. He'll never be your guide and you'll never be rid of your sins until you have Jesus in your heart. He died for naught. If you don't accept him, you have to have Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something else. Nobody can do it for you. You make that decision. You choose heaven or you choose hell. You choose Jesus or you choose the devil. And you say, oh no, I am independent. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. Well, I got news for you, Buster. There are no independents with Jesus. Jesus says, if you're not for me, you're against me. Black and white. No in between. And so you're either in Christ or you're in the devil. And I'm praying today that you'll make that prayer and say, dear Jesus, I am a poor lost sinner, or I've drifted away from you, and I just ask you to take away my sins. And if it's the first time, come into my heart, and I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. And you can start a new year with a guide that will guide, direct you all the way. And every decision he makes, you may not understand some of the things. He told his disciples, what I'm doing now, you may not understand, but you will afterwards. And when you get to heaven, you'll say, oh, yes, he was right. Now I see it. That's what everybody will be saying. They have questions in life. Oh, yes. Now, if you made that prayer to Jesus, you write to us. The Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And we'll send you scriptures. We'll send you some scripture to help you out. If you want to have the new song, or if you want to have send something on the internet, a gift on the internet, you use ChristianWorshipHour.com. But now all of you on your short wave, here it is again, this box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the multitudes of people right now that's making that prayer and asking you to come into their heart. And I thank you for the multitudes that have drifted away and they're coming back, and you're putting your arms around them and you're holding them and you're loving them and you're rejoicing, and the angels in heaven are rejoicing because, oh dear God, the sinners come home. And I'm praying today, Lord, for those on beds of sickness and those who are shut-ins. And now these winter months with the snow and the blowing, the blizzard and the ice, that awful ice. And I just thank you that they can worship with us. And we're one body in Christ, one family in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Bless them. Be with those in prison. Be with the young people. Help them. And the children, the beautiful children. Help them. Help us all. And oh God, we'll give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're just praying that you made that decision. Pray that you write to us, let us know. And just pray that pray for this ministry. We're taking on new stations, we're coming into new places, and just pray that we'll find grace in the sight of people, that they'll listen to the gospel and they'll come to know Jesus. And if you pray for people and if you support this ministry in any way, you'll have a part in their salvation. So just be a part with us. And we'll always be careful that we give all the glory to Jesus. If we take glory to ourselves, he will not give his glory to another. So all glory to Jesus' name. So God bless you. Thank you for opening your homes for us. Thank you for your prayers and your gifts. And by the grace of God and the goodness of God, we'll see you again next week. And it'll always be in the name of Jesus, Jesus' holy name. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.